A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rehm, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on January 29, 1995, in the New Testament series, entitled, And the Story Goes On. The scripture readings are Romans 1, verses 7 through 17, Acts 28, verses 23 through 31, and Luke 4, verses 16 through 30. The texts for the sermon are Luke 4, verse 18, Romans 1, verse 1, and Acts 28, verse 23. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
I remember the outskirts of Rome and the Appian Way, and when I read of Paul coming there, I get goosebumps. Some of you have been there with me. Those huge old paving stones, rutted with the wheels of the chariots of centuries past, making one's way in the shadow of the ruins of the old aqueducts, coming to the catacombs, going into the bowels of the earth, and to find there the place where the early church worshiped, where scratched on the wall are names such as Peter and Paul. I remember standing in St. Peter's before that granite plaque with the names of all the bishops of Rome back to Peter, and having a sense of exhilaration that I was a part of a community of faith that stretched across the centuries and the generations, to feel that there is one great movement of the eternal God in the midst of history, in the midst of our lives, and that that community of faith continues to be the body of Christ, the extension of the incarnation, if you will, the concretization of the kingdom of God in the midst of the stuff of our history. Paul longed to preach in Rome. This passionate apostle who had been turned around in his tracks, who had founded Christian communities throughout the ancient world, obviously, he wanted to come to Rome, and then he came. And as he came, he had that same message. He gathered the leaders of the Jewish community, and out of their own tradition, out of the Torah and the prophets, he proclaimed to them Jesus as the anointed one of God, as the one who had stood up in his own hometown and had said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news." And Paul passionately believed that that one was indeed God's appointed one, that one of whom we've been reading and hearing in these past weeks, that one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And out of the preaching of Paul and the others, as we've noted, there developed a people, a Jesus movement, a people of the way, Luke tells us in this book of Acts, a people of the way of Jesus. A people of the way who were a people on the way. And I read the last chapter of Acts for one reason, to give you the impression that when Luke concluded the story of Paul preaching in Rome, it's as if he put the pen down and went to lunch, or perhaps simply was going to take a break, and intending fully to come back and to continue the story. For one thing is obvious in the book of Acts, that at its end, there is no ending, for the story goes on. The story goes on, a dramatic story, an unfolding story of this community of faith, this historical, concrete form of flesh and blood human beings who were united in believing that in seeing the face of Jesus, they were looking into the heart of God, and that in hearing the word of the gospel, they could trust that God was gracious and was embracing them and the world in that grace. And so, I conclude a long overview of the Scriptures this morning by simply saying to you, and the story goes on. The story goes on. It went on with peaks and valleys. The one thing that we in the Protestant tradition, if we could confess it to our neighbors from St. Mary's today, the one thing that we in the Protestant tradition have gotten wrong all these years is the fact that we were a people of the book, as though sola scriptura was all it took. That simply isn't true. We are a part of that one community of faith that down through the centuries has negotiated the passages of history with a growing and developing tradition, a living tradition of faith. Thank God for that tradition, for we have learned that tradition is not some absolutizing of some finished truth back there, but much rather is the instrument of continuity and change. Continuity, whereby we are rooted to our founding story. But being rooted to that founding story, because we are a community of the Holy Spirit, and because God is the living God and continues to speak, that tradition is also the means by which we negotiate the unfolding of the historical drama, knowing that there will be new vistas, new horizons, new insights of faith, because the Christian life is always that correlation of this given story and the ongoing drama of history, so that our present human experience is constantly illuminated by this story. And our ongoing human experience continues to elicit from the story new insights never before known, because there are circumstances now that we face that were faced by no previous generation. And so the story goes on, but the story goes on in continuity with that founding story. The story goes on in a living tradition of faith. As the Lutheran historian has said, tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. And so, as the story goes on, we recognize the value of tradition. A living tradition that continues to grow and to develop and to give us light on our way. And as a people of faith, we recognize also that in that ongoing story, there have been tragic chapters. The body of Christ was rent between East and West in the 11th century. And that breach has not yet been healed. The body of Christ was further rent in the 16th century. and that breach has not yet been healed. There was a Hollander, a man from Rotterdam. His name was Erasmus. He and Martin Luther got into correspondence at a critical time in the life of the church. The whole European continent was in ferment. The forces of the Renaissance were everywhere, growing nationalism. And the church needed reformation. Erasmus knew that, and Luther knew that. But Erasmus wrote to Luther and said, "Don't break the body." It probably took a rambunctious fellow like Luther. And often institutions don't reform and experience renewal without the awful tearing and breaking. But the Reformation was a tragedy, because still today, once a year, we can get these two choirs together. Once a year, my neighbor comes to bring greetings, and I bring greetings there. The church is the ongoing body of Christ, which is informed by a living tradition, which is united around the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. And we've had enough of doing an anatomy of the past. There is no future in assigning blame or even crying over that which was tragic in the past. But there is a way into the future. It is a way that will bring us together. That is not to begin with a theological discussion. It is to begin in worship together, such as we are this morning. It is when we stand next to one another and praise God and unite in our adoration of Jesus Christ. And then when we leave worship, when we do what we have not done enough of, but will do, mark my words, in the coming year, we will begin some ministry together. Maybe in some house out here in the block that's between us. Wouldn't it be wonderful if St. Mary's and Christ Community found a common location to do a common ministry in the name of Jesus Christ? And just maybe, if we continue to pray together and sing together and to roll up our sleeves in the name of Jesus and serve our neighbors, just maybe, our children, or our children's children, or at least our children's children's children, will never know that we were not always one body in Christ. You see, we need to continue to hear the founding story. But the action is now, and the future is ours, learning to love one another and give our lives for the life of the world. And so, let the story go on.